One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. It's just me being Bobby again. Dave is probably dead, let's be honest.
He's at Comic-Con. That was his big excuse. He was like, I'm sorry, guys, I'd like to go, but there's 4 days of Comic-Con, and I can't miss an hour of it.
I know it, dude. So, yeah, it's Comic-Con weekend in San Diego, and it's so interesting to me. This is something I would have never thought of if I wasn't a comic, but how many people in low-level entertainment try and spin the fact they're going to Comic-Con? This isn't Dave, but they try and spin it as some sort of industry credit. Like you'll see people like posting on their Facebook, I'm making an appearance at Comic-Con this year. I'm like, you bought tickets!
Right. technically true.
I saw a lot of, yeah, technically true. I saw a lot of people like, I was given press passes. I'm like, no, you were not.
Yeah, the Comic-Con is interesting because when I was younger, growing up in San Diego, it was truly a nerd thing. You had to be a nerd. It was nerdy stuff. And then it slowly evolved into this giant thing. And now it is just the reason I don't go downtown this weekend.
Yeah.
Like that's what it has become.
I canceled my show last night in Ocean Beach and moved it to August because I'm like, I'm not even going to compete with that or deal with it.
When I was a nerd growing up, this was literally better than Christmas because A, it was where you would get together. This was pre-internet, right? So if you wanted a bunch of rare comics or nerd stuff, you couldn't just go on eBay. You had to physically go here, and this was the eBay. This was the mecca of everything where you could get it.
Yeah.
But also, it was the source of about, I'd say, 90% of my preteen revenue, like income revenue.
Yeah.
Because what my friends and I would do is we would volunteer, so we would get free passes. We would work the registration booth. And they don't want you taking those passes. I think now they're worth a used Hyundai. They're worth like 4,000 bucks or something. It used to be that the 4-day passes were worth like 65 bucks and something like that. So we would work it, and they knew, obviously, these nerdy kids would swipe these if they could and resell them. So they were smart, and they'd be like, all right, if you're going to volunteer, these badges consist of these three different parts. One is this laminate badge holder. One is the badge itself. One is this name tag part. And they, you know, okay, you only get to work here. You only get to work here. So we would come in, pretend we didn't know each other, get in each of those three groups, snag a bunch of our own things, put them together, make our own badges, and then walk through the line of people waiting 4 hours to pay 65 bucks for it and go, I got this for 50 right here, now. What do you want?
Okay, gotcha.
And we would clear a few grand, doing that. Most of which we would then turn around and spend at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But like that was our main source of revenue as
a kid.
That's
pretty smart.
Yeah, so between that and like the mecca of nerd things that you would go buy, this was Christmas for me when I was younger.
Yeah, you know, and I never been, because I feel like I missed those times, that would have appealed to me in that era, you know, where it's just like you and an unknown comic book writer sitting in front of a stack of his comics. You know, that sounds great to me, but it just seems so bandwagony to do it now, you know, and like we talked about last episode, you know, Jonah Hill's there promoting his new romantic comedy. I'm like, it didn't appeal to me at all. Anyway, I did a show recently and I had an awkward moment that happens to me about twice a year. Is that, I believe we've talked about this before, an old-timer who's just getting into comedy right now, has just discovered it.
Sure. He needs to speed things along.
Came to me and asked me for my advice on how he makes comedy into a career.
Did you turn to him and go, be younger?
Yes, and that's what's so awkward is, you know, they're usually very nice.
Right.
They have the best of intentions, and I don't want to be a dickhead to them, but that is the answer. Like, is that I hate to break it to you, but I just don't think you're being realistic. I don't think that's going to happen for you.
Either that or go find your niche group. Like, maybe there's a whole bunch of octogenarians who are waiting for their own comedian to come out. And if so, you got to go find your niche because your jokes might not play to a 30-year-old the same way it would play to a 75-year-old.
No, even if you're really funny, the whole thing is, if a 20-year-old comes to me and says, I'd like advice on comedy, I'll fucking give you all the advice. I will mentor you. You can call me in the middle of the night and say, I just bombed. I'm thinking of quitting. I'll talk you out of it.
Oh, you just screwed yourself so bad by putting that out there.
No, that's really the case. Like the thing is, number one, the schedule when you start comedy is so fucking rigorous I don't think I could do it right now at 32, much less 60, which this guy easily was.
Because you do have to put in your open mic time to get noticed, and that means doing sometimes two or three mics a night.
I did, there's that. I did four nights a week when I first started.
Yeah, exactly. You need to put that in. You need to do that grind. And usually you have a buddy, like I did it with Damien. We would go and we'd hit all the mics, and it was really fun. But you have to be young, you have to be dedicated, you have to be able to put those hours in, because otherwise, even if you're really funny, people just aren't going to see you, and you're not going to get the reps you need to develop your bit.
Right, and you know, even after you pass the open mic phase of your career, first of all, you're going to have to get a job that finances this this little dream of yours.
Ooh, side note. Old guy's probably retired. He doesn't need the job.
Right, right, right. But, you know, it's also like getting off work and then driving through the desert to Riverside to do a 20-minute spot, you know. Right. If I was starting right now, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I mean, he's got to learn how to take a punch, and those old jaws are pretty brittle, you know. I mean, somebody's going to get pissed at you sooner or later.
Yeah, and it takes a long time and all that. And so, you know, when they come to me, and they're very respectful, they're talking to me like I'm a potential employer, and they're on a job, and they're like, Mr. Shores, I would like to pick your brain a little bit about how to be a career comedian. And I'm like, here's what really bothers me about it, is like, there's a certain, even though they're being nice, there's a certain arrogance to it, which is, I assume they've had a, you know, 30-plus year career in something else.
Right, or they're Benjamin Button, one or the other.
And now they're taking this thing that's extremely unlikely to do, even if you've already been doing it since you were, you know, 19 or 20.
Right.
And just thinking that they're gonna begin this now. It's as unlikely as if I, at the end of my comedy career, me saying, I think I want to be a professional baseball player. Like, I don't know, man. I don't think that's realistic, you know? And, like, the other thing is, dude, you chose. You chose your life already. Back when you were, you know, 21, 22, you said, I want to be a school teacher. And you chose stability. You chose having, you know, vacations. You chose all that. And you probably made the right choice, by the way. Because all these guys, that when they retire and they realize their life was boring, you know, they go, oh, man, I could have toured and met celebrities. I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe, but probably not. There's a better chance you would have ended up one of the 200 people per city per year that fucking wash out after a year or two. So don't be too hard on yourself.
But I also feel sorry for them, because there isn't necessarily those opportunities for those people. I mean, if you think about, let's say, the landscape of comedy in the 1960s or something, like, that just wasn't a thing for them. So now they see it and they're like, oh, I really want to. So there's a part of me that really admires the person who's like, oh, I wish this was around when I was there.
No, dude, with the 1960s, man, the age group, this would have been the 70s or 80s when they made this choice, during the comedy boom. It was there.
Well, the 80s was the comedy boom. 70s was pretty harsh.
Late 70s was the comedy boom.
But even then, you have to think, those are localized to those individual cities. Like, if somebody lived any place outside of a major metropolitan area, it's not like now, where because of YouTube and touring and stuff, you can still make it. You couldn't necessarily do it back then. To some extent, it reminds me of people who are like, man, there were no computers when I was around, but now I'm really interested in computer programming and I want to learn how to do it.
That's a lot different.
The industry almost didn't exist. The problem is, if you're smart with computer programming, you can pick that up really quickly. You can go take a few basic and C++ classes and get it down real fast. To be on stage and work comedically, you have to have something that is not only talent, which, yes, everybody there has talent. That is undeniable. That is the barrier to entry. Then you have to have repetitions. You have to have done it a whole bunch, and you have to work on it and have crafted, and you just need time. And unfortunately, the last thing old people have is time.
Right, right. And oh my God, this happened to me like a couple years ago. This one guy was like, hey, you know, I how do I do what you're doing? How do I get on the road? I was like, I can tell you how I did it. Was I worked open mics for 1 to 2 years, then I did like 6 months of bringer shows, then I, you know, moved on to unpaid spots. Yeah. And he stops me, just did it. He goes, hey, I don't have time for all that.
Right.
I don't have time for all that. I need to know how I do this within a year. I'm like, you're an asshole. You're a fucking asshole for saying that. You're an entitled prick, and I hope you die.
The reason that is because there's so much to it. You think you're just going up there and doing a set. It's not. You got to interact with the audience. You got to be able to call an audible when the first three jokes don't work and you realize, oh, this crowd is different. I'm going to need to do crowd work. I'm going to need to do this. You need to be able to know what to do when all of a sudden the guy three rows down is drunk and starts yelling racial slurs from his table. Like, you just need the reps for that. We talked about before how I'm running this field school up in the mountains with these UCSD kids. And this week I've been getting a lot of questions because they're starting to get really into it. I had somebody ask me that today, like, how do you know all this stuff? And it was just like, because I had to learn it at some point too. I've been doing this for 10 years. At some point I ran into these problems and I have solved them. It's the same thing with comedy. At some point you're going to have a heckler yell at you for the first time and you're going to freeze and go, I have no idea what the fuck to do.
Eventually
you're going to have a heckler yell at you and you're going to not even skip a beat and go right into some of your prepared heckler material or just shoot them down or go into it because you've done it so many times. And there's no substitute for just doing it over and over and over again.
You know, the bummer thing for these people, though, is, you know, I can tell they want to do some stand-up, is you can't really do stand-up as a hobby because it's so competitive. You know, stage time is so sparse and so sought after that it's almost not worth it if you just want it to be a hobby, you know? It's not fun. However, on the flip side of this, let me tell you something I love. Whereas old guys trying to live out some sort of comedy fantasy camp annoys me, I just saw a dad rock band in a bar recently. Me and my friend went, didn't know they were going to be there. I fucking love that. When I go into a dive bar and I can see like a couple 58-year-old dudes with pot bellies, just I can tell in their eyes that maybe they're not delusional, but in their head, they are not here at Tommy's Sports Pub and Grill. They are at the Forum opening for Van Halen. They are living out that rock and roll fantasy. I can tell just by how he's maneuvering, just how he's gesturing to the 8 people in attendance.
Right.
I'm like, you go, Bill.
That's right. And in his head, his wife has died in a car crash, so now he's a sexy widower.
Oh, that's right. I can tell by that shirt that I know he picked out 6 weeks ago when he booked this gig. He looked at himself in the mirror. He's like, oh, yeah, this is the shirt. This is the shirt. So anyway, I go into this bar. It's by my house. You've been there. They used to do a comedy show there, Navajo Live. These guys are on stage. Now, there's a bass player singer. He's really loving it. He's the guy I'm describing. He is fucking living that rock and roll fantasy tonight. You are not Bill of Meineke Auto. You are Bill Rock God. Yes. But now, next to him, he's got this guy, black guy, on guitar, left-hand guitar. He's got some really nice fucking rigs, too. And he is frozen with fear. There's only like 9 people in this bar, but this guy, he's a very, very technically proficient guitar player. He's rocking it. I'm like, oh man, this guy's good, but he's not moving his feet. I know when someone's frozen with stage fright. I was like, oh, I felt bad for him, like, because I feel like this is probably the bass player's neighbor, and he overheard him in his garage one night and came over like, Frank, I didn't know, man, we got our jam sometime. He's like, no, I don't. No. He's like, no, come on. And he probably talked him into it. He's like, come on. I know a guy that works down at the Navajo Live. We will rock. Maybe we can even just put out an album. And he's like, And then he talked him into it. Now he's up there like, this was a mistake. This was a mistake.
It's like the funny guy you know who you convinced to go do an open mic sometime. And you're like, you're the funniest guy in the office. You're funnier than most comedians I know. But they get up on stage and it turns out that just being funny or just being good at guitar is not the only prerequisite for this position. You also have to be comfortable in front of a few hundred people looking at you.
Yeah, or in this case, 9.
Yeah, 9,
Which was wildly too much for this guy. So then I felt really bad for him because the guy was like, all right, Frank, why don't you introduce this next song? And like, you just see him, how's it going out there? And like, everyone applauded because we all felt bad for him. We're like, yeah, way to go, man, yeah. And he goes, I can't hear you. I said, make some noise. Make some noise, please. It was cringeworthy, man. He was trying to do crowd work while paralyzed with fear.
I love that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. This next one. And by the way, it's an originals band, too. This next one. This is actually the name of the song, by the way. I wrote this about hard times. This one's called East County Rain. Yes!
It's the most racist of all the rain.
But anyway, I love that. Also, I was at a show not too long ago, a couple days ago, and I walk in, and there's this comic. He's not a great-looking guy, kind of nerdy, and he is talking to a pretty smoking punk rock chick. She's a little thicker. She's got, she's got tattoos, you know. The way they were talking, I thought like, oh man, that's his wife or girlfriend. Like that's, they were, they, it was like that. And I was like, way to go. Nice pull. Cause isn't that the point
right.
of stand-up comedy, to get with someone who you have no business being
yeah.
with? That's why I did it. So anyway, but I was like, nice job. So I go up and the dude shakes my hand. I know him. And not well, obviously, I thought this was his wife. She turns to me, and there's posters of me all around this bar. Everywhere you look, there's a poster of me for this show that's there. And so I always feel awkward about that, by the way. It's just weird standing next to a poster of yourself.
Just wait till the Soapy Joes get optioned into a movie. Then,
shut up,
then.
So she like points the poster. She turns towards me and she's like, oh, that's you. Hey, so you're headlining tonight. I came down just to see comedy, blah, blah, blah. Apropos of nothing, she just turns to this, to the guy she was just talking to. She goes, by the way, he and I aren't together.
Wow.
And I felt bad about that. I'm like, oh.
He heard this?
Yeah, I know. She's right there. She's like, oh, by the way, we're not together. We just met right now.
Wow.
Apropos of nothing. She just wanted to let me know, just in case I was confused, I'm not with him.
Or.
By the way.
Or, I don't know if you've thought of this, maybe she actually was flirting with him and she's just negging him.
Maybe.
That's the greatest neg I've
maybe.
Ever heard.
But then, now, I'm a faithful husband. You know
right.
that.
Sure.
I'm in no way trying to flirt here. She is pretty hot, but I am not there for that. I just felt awkward. I was like, oh, okay. And
you
then,
know, neither are we. You know, I've dated him a little bit, but we're not an item.
This guy then comes back with the most fantastic, I don't want to call it a cock block because I wasn't trying for that.
Right.
But like, I was impressed with what he did. Like, I could see the wheels turning. He looks like Garth when he's confused. Like, he sees this slipping through his fingers.
Yep.
I see a light bulb go off in his head. He goes, hey, Ryan, congratulations. I'm like, on what? He goes, didn't you just get married recently? I'm like, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well played, sir. I felt weird because I'm like, I was happy he was cock-blocking me
sure.
for his sake and mine.
Sure.
But like, I'm like, you know, I respect a good ploy, you know?
Yeah, good cock block. I do like that act of desperation, though I think his only response that would have been effective is to turn to you and be like, we're not together. We are absolutely not together. Me and this girl? No, don't think about it. What are you doing after the show, Ryan?
Yeah, so no hard feelings on that end.
Yeah. I do like this idea, though, that somebody is going to announce in somebody else's presence, we're not together. You might have saw
it. It was a little rude.
I wasn't even meaning to talk to him. I think he's kind of gross. I got cornered. I didn't mean to.
It was a little rude, to be honest.
To be awkward, I don't know why I'm talking so loud. He's literally right next to me. Why am I doing this right now?
Yeah, no, that's the face I gave her. Like, he can hear you. What are you doing? How dare you?
I want to start living my life like that more often, like even just with coworkers. Like, hey, just so you know, I wasn't working with this person on my own free volition. The boss put me with them. They're a piece of shit. I don't want to be working with this person at all.
I've had my feelings hurt by that same kind of thing a few times. Like, right. there's a sushi restaurant near my old work back when me and my now wife were sharing a vehicle. I would get off work. She got off work an hour later than me. And then I would just go to the sushi bar and drink sake and wait for her to pick me up. So I walk in the door.
Sounds like a weird country song.
Like those people eat sushi.
Yeah.
So I walk in where like the hostess area is, and there's a moderately attractive girl standing there waiting to be seated. And I just kind of wait behind her waiting to be seated also. The hostess comes up and goes, are you guys together? She looks at me and goes, oh, no, no, no. Like, she gave it a good four no's, one of them, like, half laughing, like, no way.
No. What am I, blind? No.
I'm like, a simple no would have been sufficient.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah. Again, that's such a great burn, and it's pretty hard to come back from, too, because as the guy who's being told, no, I don't want anything, what are you supposed to yell? Like, well, maybe we could be in some kind of weird alternate dimension. Like, what is your response that you could even come back to save face in that situation?
A good life tip is if someone asks you if you are romantically linked to someone in the room,
right.
please don't be emphatic about your answer.
Right.
Just a yes or no. You don't need to sell me on how you would never.
Yeah. And also, I guess now that we're learning this, if this happens to you, you should always have some good insults like ready on the fly. Like, you know, when you're with the hostess and the other girl starts going, no, absolutely not. You should also go, oh, no. She's got a huge vagina. No way. No.
Okay.
So, Ryan, I had an interesting thing happen this week that is, I guess, the opposite of what I would usually do. I guess I had the opposite of a vigilante justice moment.
Really?
Yeah. So I think I commented before that my wife and I recently bought a piece of property that we're going to build a house on, and we're very excited about it. So I went up there, took my mom and my baby, and I was going to go and clear some brush, get some brush cleared and show my mom the property. And as we were out there, it's accessed by a private road. And so I went up the private road and got to the property, and we started working, and this guy comes super in a huff. Like he's stomping up the dirt path in that way that you know he's already angry.
Yeah.
And he's yelling at me, you don't have access to this private road, blah, 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 blah. You're not allowed to be here and all this stuff. And part of me wanted to just be, because I actually did. I mean, I did. I had actually confirmed with lawyers. We had checked easement rights and stuff. And part of me wanted to be like, shut the fuck up and walk away, you ginger. Because he was a ginger. And I don't know why, but it made me angrier about it.
Just unscroll the deed to your property.
Yeah.
What do you think of this, dickhead?
Yeah, something about when a ginger comes after you. It feels like when a meth head is talking down to you. You're like, no, you don't do that. but anyway, it's the only type of racism I totally approve of. But
well, that in Hawaiians.
Yeah. But so he came up and he was very in a huff. And I was about to go because he had said, you don't have the right to be here. I was about to like literally reach into my car and pull out the easement paperwork and be like, oh, really? Would you like to take a look at this, Mr. Lawyer? Let me hear it. I just mock him. I realized, though, this guy will be my neighbor in the future.
Right.
And it will be much easier if I have unimpeded access to this road and stuff. And so instead, I went the exact opposite route. And sometimes I do recommend people do this because it worked so stunningly well, which is I was kind beyond words.
Okay.
So he comes up yelling and screaming. I went, oh, okay, I'm really sorry if I was disturbing you. And he's still mid-yell, and I reach my hand out. I was like, hey, my name's Bobby. How you doing? And it catches him so off guard that he literally stumbles his words. He was like, and you're not allowed to be... Hi, I'm Jeff, I guess.
Yeah. Just,
you can't yell at somebody who's being nice to you.
You know what? I disagree with you because I worked in customer service for a long time.
That's a little different because they have a different grievance coming up, but because they have a grievance with the store in general. At this point, his grievance is technically with me. And so me, the guy his grievance is with, is being nice to him, right? So it'd be like if the store came out and was like, here's a bunch of free stuff, we love you or whatever. So I sat there and started talking to him. Within 5 minutes, I had turned him from red-faced, and by the way, red-haired, angry dude in a huff to calm dude talking. Within a half hour, he was my best friend. And within the hour, because he sat there and talked a lot, and it was very clear he needed somebody to talk to, hence probably the rage, within the hour, we were good buddies. Like, we were ready to go. We were exchanging phone numbers, shaking hands, high-fiving. And it does prove that while I am a huge fan of vigilante justice, and I do believe that people who do wrong should then have justice done to them, every once in a while, for your own benefit, you should swallow that pride. You should swallow, because again, this wasn't a situation where I would just argue and be like, no, you're a faggot. Like, it was, this was, I could have reached 3 feet into my vehicle and pulled out the paperwork that showed what he was saying was total bullshit and then yelled, you're trespassing on my property, get the fuck off before I kick your ass or something like that. I could have yelled any of that. And instead, I was insanely nice to him. And now it is flipped around. Now, instead of an enemy on that street that is going to keep me from getting private road access, I have a friend on that street who will help me do that thing.
Yeah.
And so there is something to this idea. And I always think of this balance myself because I don't know that I always strike it right. But this is one of those times, you know, those times where you have some kind of altercation or something and you spend the next 2 hours going, fuck, I should have said that. Or like, oh man, I really dug myself a grave on that one. I really should have been quieter. I should have done this. This was one of those few times where I look back and went, dude, I did that one perfect. Like that is so rare for me. Almost every time I look back and go like, I should have said that. Fuck, goddamn it. And I look back at this one, I went, I kept my cool. I didn't let my perturbance at him being an asshole get to me. Instead, I did what needed to be done, what was the smarter move, not the emotional reaction move. And I got what I wanted out of the end of it. And it's a much better result at the end.
Let me ask you something. Speaking of vigilante justice, because you're a guy that likes to adhere to the letter of the law, and you're a vigilante.
Yeah, that's true.
So let me ask you about this, though. I wanted to see what side you would take on it.
Okay.
My doctor's office, the parking lot's always full, and there's a small shopping center directly across a small street from it. I always choose appointments at the end of the day because most of those stores are closed, and that parking lot is dead empty.
Okay.
So I just go park over there, walk across the street. Yesterday, I went to a doctor's appointment, parked my car there, walked across the street. As I'm walking, I hear, excuse me, I don't think it's to me, so I just keep walking. When I come out, there is a tow truck trying to pull into the to the parking lot to tow my car. Luckily, I beat him there. I'm like, sorry, dude, no dice.
Wow.
No
dice.
Did
you have a ticket?
No. Now, I realized the excuse me was coming from this bitch at the top story of this one of the shops. Uh-huh. She has a yoga studio.
Uh-huh.
And again, this parking lot is empty.
Yeah. You're being a dick if you're taking up somebody else's spot that they need it. If it's a thing where everybody is closed, who the fuck cares?
Right. And so she goes, excuse me, I've seen you park here before. This is for customers of this shopping center only. I'm like, right, understood. But the shops are closed. There's plenty of spots. I'm taking something from no one.
Yeah.
And she's like, but it's customers only. Understood. But
you should have pointed to one of the shops nearby and be like, I'm a regular customer right here. What are you talking about?
No, I refuse to lie when my actual point is valid.
Right.
No. So we have this retarded conversation mm-hmm. back and forth for I don't know how long.
By the way, I imagine this as her. It's like Romeo and Juliet, and she's on the balcony of the upstairs yoga studio yelling down to you.
No, she came down.
Oh, wow.
We were face to face, like an umpire and a coach in a baseball game.
Did you keep bragging about how you weren't getting towed? Like, you called the tow truck, but I'm getting out.
That got brought up.
Okay.
I'm like, you're going to have my fucking car towed because for why? She's like, it's customers only. She just get, you know, when you get in that loop
yeah.
where you're talking to someone that can only say
right.
their only point, they can't offer any counterpoints or any intelligent conversation. I'm like, right. I understand it's customers only. And I understand how technically I broke the rules.
Yeah.
However, who am I hurting? It's customers only. No, you've mentioned that three times now. However, I don't understand why trying to have my car towed uh-huh. is necessary when I'm preventing no one from parking. It's customers only. I'm like, that's it.
The only solution in that sense, once you get into those, what I call the stupid person feedback loop, once you get into that, you have to just use the feedback loop against them. So they're like, it's customers only. And you're like, yes, it's customers only. That's why I'm allowed to park here. And they're like, wait, no, it's customers only. Yeah, it's customers only. And then when they look confused, you start yelling at them, it's customers only!
Where I ended is, I said something that definitely struck home. I wanted to get out of this conversation because she was not offering anything.
Right.
So I finally went, you know what? I don't like talking to people that obviously don't get laid. They're fucking nasty and grumpy. And she went, bah, 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 bah. I saw that it punched her in the face like as if I'd actually struck her with my fist.
And then you yell, it's customers only!
Anyway, we're going to make it a short episode this week. Sorry about that, but we will be back to full capacity next week, hopefully with Dave back on the air. If you want to come see me do some stand-up next weekend, I'll be doing all weekend at the Madhouse Comedy Club. That's July 27th and the 28th. Two shows a night, 7:30 and 9:45 each night. All right, that's our show. I'm Ryan for Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. But it's customers only. Yeah, time passing by. Oh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.